open your Bibles up to Acts chapter 16. We will continue our study here tonight. We have been considering the conversions that we find in the book of Acts. It's important for us to understand what the Bible teaches on how one must be converted to Christ, how one must be in God, in the church. And we find in the book of Acts an example of how this was done. You do not find, as I've said before, a situation in where everything is laid out in one verse that you must do. There's no point A, point B, point C. Rather, we find through examples in the book of Acts those that came to Christ and put Him on in baptism, and we see the things that were done that were emphasis, I believe, was placed upon in each of these conversions to help us understand and know what it is that we must do. One thing is for sure that in these conversions that we read of in the book of Acts, that every single one of them ended with baptism. We find that there are those that we see that hearing was important, as well as baptism. Those that were believing was important along with baptism, repenting along with baptism. We also find that we confess that great name of Christ Jesus, that He is that Son of God, and our belief in Him. So it's a culminary situation in which we can take a look within this book and gain understanding of what it is we must do to be in Christ. Our lesson tonight will focus on, out of Acts chapter 16, the imprisonment of Paul and Silas. And if you would begin reading with me in verse 16, it said, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed of the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. And this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And she did this, and this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.' And then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." Now we'll talk more about the conversion that comes in the section following this in just a moment, but I have some comments that I want to make in regards to Paul and Silas and where they were. We find that they were going out to prayer. We know that they had met with Lydia and the women that were there at the river. It was outside of town. And we know that Paul sat down and began to teach those things that were of Christ. And we know that Lydia and her household were baptized. Well, that wasn't the end of teaching as it took place. Paul continued to teach. He continued to go to prayer. And he continued to try to convert others that were around him to that great gospel of Christ. Now, let me put in your memory as we talk specifically about tonight's situation with Paul and Silas and the conversion that we're going to see here just shortly, that remember, Paul had gotten the call to go into this area. We read this morning that it was instructed to him, it was in a vision, that he go to Macedonia, he go over there and help. As we see there in verse 9, a man of Macedonia had come to him within that vision. And in verse 11, "Therefore, sailing from Troas, we set straight course. And we were there and to go into Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis, and then they came to Philippi." So where Paul and Silas are now, it was given by divine instruction for them to be there. It was given by divine instruction for them to be in this area, to to be around the people that they were going to be around. And undoubtedly, I want you to consider that God, who is an all-knowing God, God can see the end from the beginning, would have known what Paul and Silas were going to face. And yet I think it's important to say and to know that there was greater good that was going to come out of their trip into this area, into Philippi, than there was danger, than there was a negative side to all this. And yet sometimes I have to believe that even we ourselves sometimes fail to understand what it is that we must do to get to where we're going, even though there are tons of hardships that we will have to go through. And I want to share this with you to simply say that I believe that just as God knew what was going to come to Paul and Silas as they were going to be thrown into prison, He knows what is going to happen to us as we go through this life. Now, keep in mind, we're not going to get a heavenly vision. We're not going to have the Holy Spirit come and specifically talk to us in such a way to give us direction within our life as to what we must do. However, with that being said, I want us all to understand that we have been given the Bible, which is the inspired Word of God that indicates to you and I about what it is that we must do within this life. And as we've talked about the idea of conversions in Acts, remember that the gospel was to spread, and there were those that tried to deter the gospel. And we find out in Acts chapter 7 that Stephen was put to death. And we find that rather than quench that fire that had been started, figuratively speaking, the gospel began to spread. Because there was fear that was there among people and it began to go all out. Jesus has instructed us, go ye therefore into all the world. And simply said, as we go through this life, whatever it is that we do, we must carry the name of Christ with us and be able to teach and be able to represent ourselves as Christians, as servants of God, that there be others that can come to know and to understand the great love that is in Him, that they may also, just as we, have that hope of eternal life. I can't help but wonder that Paul and Silas, as they are right here, they find themselves in a situation in which they are teaching, in which they are going to try to help others understand. They're taking a time of prayer. And we find this woman, this girl, that was a slave girl that was possessed by a spirit. And she was brought by her masters, much profit. We see that because of what was going on with this girl, there was much monetary gain. There was worldly gain that was coming about to those who owned this girl. And yet what we find is that when Paul and Silas cast the demon out of this girl, and by whose name did Paul cast that demon out? In the name of Christ Jesus. I want us to understand and know that that is important, that Paul said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. We understand that the times that we look at here that are a little different with the powers that the apostles had. But in the name of Christ Jesus, that demon was commanded to come out of that girl. And not only was the command made, but also it was fulfilled. But that girl with that spirit of divination come out. And now what we find is there's some people that are going to be hurt in the pocketbook because of what has happened. They were no longer going to be able to have much profit because of what this girl's ability was. And we find that that is the case here. And I want to suggest to you that we find many today that are not willing to follow after Christ. There are many that are not willing to follow God and His commandments because of the nature of worldly things that bring them great fortune. And they see that that fortune in their eyes is far greater than anything they can have within Christ Jesus. Now in that last day, the mind will be changed. We know as the believing Christians the great hope that we have in heaven. But we see that Paul and Silas did this, and to say the least, it caused no small stir. It caused no small stir. Her master saw that the hope of their prophet was gone. You know, it comes to my mind that as one would see this, why it is that you wouldn't think, consider, and wonder about the power that the Apostle Paul had to cause such a thing to happen to this girl, for that evil spirit, that divination to come out of that girl. Why you would not be more interested in knowing how did that happen. See, there's things that I think we can take a look at within this life that needs to bring us greater understanding than rather than what is going on. We need to look at and explore why has that gone on. And I think there's not enough people that are looking at the why as opposed to looking at the profit or the immediate money that is involved in certain things to understand a larger and a bigger picture. We can have the hope of God being in charge of that bigger picture. And our walk as we go through this life is one of faith. And so it was for the Apostle Paul, and so it was for Silas, that they trusted in God. They trusted in Christ. As I pointed out this morning, Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul, "I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me." And when it comes to right and when it comes to wrong, that which is of Christ is always going to be right. It is the flesh that enters in things that are wrong. But of Christ, and we do those things that are of Christ, we may face great sacrifice within our life. And just as it so happened here with Paul and Silas, they were brought to the magistrates, they were brought to the authorities, and it was simply said, these men being who? Jews. These men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city. Keep in mind that Saul had Roman citizenship. And that's going to come into play as you navigate through the book of Acts, that we find that he is that Roman citizen and he will eventually appeal his case and go to Rome. These Jews exceedingly trouble our city. You know, we stand up for things that are right as we go through this life. And there are some that are exceedingly troubled by it. There are great issues that we find within this nation that if we stand up against some of those issues, there's going to be people that are exceedingly upset. They're going to be angry and they're going to want to bring us some kind of harm. And I challenge all of us in here in our thinking that we look to the way of God, that we look to the way of Christ and the hope that is within Him. And yes, we live our life regardless of how people will consider us to be troublemakers for the position that we take. They teach customs which are not lawful to us, being Romans, to receive or observe. And we see the multitude, they rose up. And they gathered against Paul and they gathered against Silas and they beat them with rods, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30. The Apostle Paul talks about all those things that he came under as a follower of Christ, as a Christian, as a servant of Christ. And one of the things that he mentioned was being beaten, having stripes laid upon him. He mentioned being beaten with rods. He mentioned the shipwreck. He mentioned so many things. And this was part of what the Apostle Paul suffered for the cause of Christ and for the sake of Christ. And yet we find, even in that 2 Corinthian letter, the Apostle Paul said, all those things that came upon me were but a light affliction. They're working a greater good in God. They're working a greater good for Christ that others can come to know and to understand. And having received this, they were put into the inner prison. The inner prison. And not only were they put in the inner prison, but they were fastened in stocks with both their feet and then also their hands. It says they fastened their feet in the stocks. You know, there was such concern that these gentlemen were going to escape. You know, the security would have been high. It wouldn't have been a quick exit. You know, into the inner prison. There were different places that you would have to exit to even get out of the prison as it would exist. And so we see that Paul and Silas going to prayer at what? The request of God. now find themselves in prison. I think it's so important as we consider the life of Paul, to consider his reflections upon the challenges that he faced. And for all of us that are in here, I pray that we're never thrown into prison for standing upon the principles of God. But if we are, let us remember it's a light affliction that is but for a moment. We ourselves have been crucified with Christ. And yet it's not our own lives that we live for, but yet it's for Christ that we live, that others may come to know. We find these men as they are in jail. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You know, if I would get thrown into jail, I don't know this for a fact, I've never been in jail. The day yet? Did somebody say yet? The day's young though. The day's young. But I've been in a jail before, but I've never been there because of something I've done. You know, and of all the things that come into my mind, being in jail, what I think of is, man, I've got to get a hold of somebody. I've got to let maybe Ellie know, depending on whether or not she may say, well, just keep him. But I want to get in touch with a lawyer. I want to get in touch with somebody that can help me plead my case, to help me get out of this jail, because I don't want to be in this captivity. I don't want to be in this bondage. And I'm sure, because I know me, I would be replaying this event time after time after time again in my mind, and asking what if, and asking why. You know, how simple would it have been for Paul to say, God, why have you sent me here? You know, there was work for me to do, and now I sit in the inner prison. Why am I here? And yet we see the attitude of Paul and of Silas. They were praying and singing hymns to God. They were praying and singing hymns to God. It is the Apostle Paul that said, I've learned that in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. What a great lesson that we can draw, even from just this one point right here, that the Apostle Paul, who is in jail, is singing praises unto God, and he is praying unto God. Because, friends, that's what is important. That is what is important as we go through this life, regardless of what may come upon us. What is it that I can still do to be that servant of Christ? What is it I can still do to let my light so shine? And let's just face it, is there teaching going on here? Oh yeah, there's teaching going on here, because what does the end of verse 25 say? And the prisoners were listening to them. And I wonder within my mind, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, but I wonder within my mind, would those that were listening to Paul and Silas be thinking, what are you doing? What are you doing? You've been cast into jail. You are in stocks. You two are a sight. Keep in mind they've been beaten. Keep in mind that they would have been a bloody mess. And here they are singing praises to God Almighty. What an inspiration that is to consider those two men with where they were and how their love for God never ceased. How their love for God never ceased. I want to come back and I want to comment on this again just very quickly. But how is it that Paul did not get angry with God? How is it Paul did not get angry with God? You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was such a special man. And he was such a great leader and such a great example and such a great writer, though it be inspired by the Holy Spirit for what he had to say. He was such an impact upon the early church. And yet we see a situation here were at midnight. He wasn't lying or trying to get comfortable and singing, God, why me? Why have you done this to me? But he's singing praise to God. I need to apply that to my own life. I need to take that and think, you know, whatever situation I'm in, I need to be the servant of God, and I need to sing the praise to God who deserves to be worshipped, who deserves to be honored, who deserves to be reverenced. Whatever state that I am in, because the state that I'm in now is not the state that I want to stay in, regardless of what that state is. The state that I want to be in is saved in heaven one day. And I must have the mindset that I will go through any situation here upon this earth, that when the last day has come, that I stand before Christ Jesus. And He has seen me as a child of God that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that my sins have been covered. I think the Apostle Paul knew that. I know. The Apostle Paul knew that. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Now I want to say here very quickly, this is the work of God. This is the work of God. We've seen the results of earthquakes in different places. We've seen buildings that have been involved in an earthquake, and more often than not, they simply just implode. They come down. There's an earthquake and all the doors open. And they were released from the bondage that they were in. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. This guard. And I'll ask the question, had he fallen asleep because of the security of the prison? There's no way that they could get out. Was he supposed to be awake and he dozed off? This guard is asleep and he wakes up. He wakes up and he sees all the doors are open. Oh my, what has happened? What has happened? Surely the prisoners have escaped. Surely the prisoners have left. They've got out of here as fast as they could. And this guard takes the sword and he's going to kill himself. He's going to end his life right there because he knows the inevitable. You know, the prisoners are gone. This guard is responsible for the prisoners. If you've let the prisoners escape, then you must die. And yet we see Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light and he ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. You know, I think this guard recognized the miraculous that happened. This guard recognized that what was happening in the jail, in the prison, the inner prison, was no ordinary circumstance. You know, I asked that question earlier about Paul and Silas singing praises, and I asked the question, why weren't they blaming God? And I think we probably all understand the love and the faith that Paul had in Christ Jesus. The faith and love that Paul had for God. Do you wonder if those prison doors would have been opened? If Paul would have been sitting there questioning the direction that God had sent him in? And I think that's an impactful question. You know, they were serving God and the door was opened. often wonder sometimes in our own life if the doors remain closed because we question God. Is our faith in God where it needs to be? To the point where we sing songs of praise to Him in every circumstance. That we pray to Him in every circumstance. These doors were opened. Do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called and he came before Paul and Silas and he's trembling. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." And there we have it. Belief leads us to heaven, doesn't it? And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And that's a concept there for me to think about. That guard who was about to take his own life believed in Paul and Silas and believed in what had happened, and he began to wash Paul and Silas. You know, Paul and Silas were men of compassion, and it turns out the guard was a man of compassion as well. But he's trying to clean them up, that he's trying to help them to feel better. And I can't even begin to imagine for a moment what it would feel like to be given stripes. All the pain that must have been. The guard washes their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Here we see the idea of belief. That he believed in Christ Jesus. He believed in the power that he had just seen. And he and his household were baptized. And now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. You know, I want to share with you that this verse here, he rejoiced, the Philippian jailer rejoiced because he believed in God and his whole household believed in God. I look at this and I think, that's a great thing, belief in God. Yes, how wonderful it is that we believe in God. And when we put Christ on in baptism, boy, there's something to rejoice there because now we have that hope. And I can't help but think, as we are right here, that there's still things to be faced. There's still things that be, to worldly speaking, are within this job to own up to. You know, sometimes, not sometimes, I believe the stress of life so many times can be brought into subjection if we simply rejoice in God. And we rejoice in our hope and we rejoice in our salvation. And we rejoice in one another that have come to Christ and that we share this brotherhood such as we do, one with another. We rejoice. We rejoice regardless of the situation. That in all things we give honor and glory to God. As we go about our life, that there may be times that we go away, that we question ourselves, why in the world have I done this? And yet there's still an opportunity for all of us in here that we can share Christ Jesus with those that are next to us. And even in those darkest moments of our life, there's still an opportunity to be an example. I literally get inspired by those stories of people that are terminally sick. And I've been to visit people from time to time that are terminally sick. They want to know how I'm doing. Boy, that's an example to me. That's somebody that in my life from time to time is laying in bed facing the inevitable that will come shortly. And their concern is not on themselves but other people. They continue to praise God through all things. They continue to bring honor and glory to His name. What a great example we have in the life of the Apostle Paul. But in these stories of conversion in the book of Acts, that I believe that we look and we can see the power of God. Apostle Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We see the power of God working. And again, I say the power of God which comes in salvation through Jesus Christ, friends, it should be what motivates us as we go through this life. For ourselves and for our relationship that we have with others. We're going to sing that song that has been selected. Almost Persuaded. Almost Persuaded. It's a great story in the book of Acts, where we find the comment is made, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." I pray that no one here tonight is almost persuaded. If you're not in Christ, I hope that you're fully persuaded. That you know and understand the power of the gospel, the love of God, the sacrifice of Christ. That in Him, hope will reign eternal in heaven one day. And if you've had that hope within your life and you have brought sin to yourself, the name of God, I pray that you don't sit there tonight almost persuaded. I pray that you make yourself right. If there's sin to repent of, repent of your sin. If it's something that involves us, if it's something that involves our encouragement or our prayer for you, let's do that. If your sin is of a private nature, I encourage you, make that correction within your life. Pray to God. Bring honor and glory to His name. And walk this life, regardless of the situation that we may be in, knowing that we serve an awesome God, and one day He will bring all those that are faithful in Him to a home which is in a peace and throughout all of eternity. Won't you come? Together we stand and as we sing. Oh.